Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. Welcome to the final message of the Dag Heward Mills podcast for 2020. The topic of this Thursday's teaching is abundance and how you can do well in times of prosperity and also in times of loneliness as a Christian. In today's message, Bishop Dag will remind you the necessity of appreciating when the Lord blesses you and the importance of making sure that you remember and give thanks to God for where He has brought you from and how He has provided. Today's message will encourage you to not take God's divine provision for granted and will cause you to be a believer who is not forgetful, but rather one who gives God all the glory for what He has done in your life.
Well, for this week and maybe a couple of weeks from now, I want to be sharing with you on the subject abundance. Abundance. Amen. Abundance means plenty.
Amen.
And to have a lot and have everything overflowing.
Amen.
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 And it is a state, a condition which we all desire and pray for. Abundance. Everybody say abundance.
Abundance.
The very word abundance, you know, gives you pictures of baskets overflowing with oranges and bananas and all the things that we desire. Is that not so? Is that not so? You imagine your bank accounts overflowing with CDs and your handbags overflowing with dollars and all the things we desire. Is that not so?
Yes, sir.
And so in this little session that we are going to have, I want us to study how to abound.
Amen.
Or how to live in abundance.
Amen.
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 Because as God blesses us, you know, we are going to abound, we are going to be blessed and enjoy His abundance. We need to know how to abound.
Amen.
It is more difficult to abound than to abase. Yes. As far as spirituality and Christianity is concerned, it's easier to be abased than to be to abound in terms of being a Christian. Years and years ago, the church was born. It was born into great persecution and hatred, first by the Jews and then by the Romans and all the other groups that hated the church for one reason or another. And the church is still hated by anybody who gets the chance to manifest it. You will see it. One of the ways we often see this hatred is in homes where, you know, parents allow their children to go out with, you know, boyfriends, and men come to pick them in cars. You get it? And nobody says anything. Or sometimes, you know, people have boyfriends who come stay with them, and the mommy doesn't say anything about it. In it. I said, in it. But then the same daughter goes to church on Tuesday, and then she goes to church on Wednesday, and then she goes to church on Friday, and mommy and daddy start to complain. What are you going to? What church is that? Why? What is happening? You are having an affair with a pastor. Mercy. Everybody say mercy.
Mercy.
Is it not so? It is exactly so. And you have mothers and mummies and daddies even encouraging their friendships. You know, with one man after the other. This man comes to drop it because his car, the engine of his car, when the engine is on, you don't even hear the sound of the engine. The car is so new. And the air conditioner is so cool. And the sounds in the car, and it's such a nice car. And so you send your daughter out with one person after another. No sign of marriage. But let the same person say, I'm going to church. I'm going to church on Sunday morning. I'm going on Sunday evening. I'm going on Tuesday. Then you see Satan rising up within the mommy and the daddy. That is what I'm talking about, hatred for the church and hatred for Christianity. And it's because your ruler is Satan. Satan is the god of this world. Another way you see the hatred for the church still manifest today is, you know, discos and nightclubs and funerals can make a whole lot of noise all night long. I mean, last night I woke up at 2:30 and there was a disco or some kind of nightclub which was pounding away all night. Nobody complains about that. But let a church come nearby and have a meeting or a church service. You see people rising up and saying all kinds of blasphemous things. It's just to let you know that Satan in the hearts of many people inspires the people to hate the church and to fight the church. The church which has done more good for this nation than probably any group. The church has done more good for Ghana than MPP.
Yeah.
It is the church which brought the first school.
Yeah.
The best schools.
Yeah.
Recently we had the results of the SSS or JSS. The best schools were all church schools. Church schools. Church is still providing for this country the best hospitals, teaching the country morals, preventing and keeping the rate of HIV very low. Compare the rate of HIV in Ghana to the rate of HIV in other places. We encourage people to marry rather than, you know, we don't even say rather than having casual sex. We encourage people to marry. And so in so doing, we are keeping down the HIV rate in the country. Instead of being applauded and encouraged, we are hated and vilified by so many people. So it's just a sign to let you know that the hatred that was there for the church is still around, manifest in so many different ways. But ladies and gentlemen, the hatred for the church was extreme at the beginning of the church, and I believe it will be the same at the very end. But this hatred was not able to quench the church or spoil the church. In fact, the church grew stronger. In the day when the church was despised and the church was the underdog, the church grew stronger, more spiritual, more on track. In the day when we were down, we were better off spiritually. Now, Satan persecuted the church and fought against the church, you know, using the Jews, then using the Roman emperors and the Roman Empire, and it didn't work. Then suddenly things changed when the Emperor Constantine became the Emperor of Rome. And suddenly, because of a vision he had where he saw the cross and so on, he decided to join the church. So suddenly, the church was now an important organization because the emperor belongs to the church. And the emperor is a member. You know, you may have heard of the Nicene Creed and so on. These are things that were organized by Constantine. He organized councils for the church and he was a member of the church. He got baptized just before he died because in those days they believed that if you are baptized, your sins are washed away. And so the nearer to your death you are baptized, the fewer sins you have as you enter into eternity. Mercy. Say mercy. All right. So you find out that sometimes, or when the enemy rather turned to abundance and gave the church what it had been hoping for and praying for, suddenly everything changed. Instead of being spiritual, we turned into something else. And so sometimes when the enemy wants to destroy us, instead of opposing us, he will join us and help us to shift slightly off the main road to a side route so that we can be going parallel to the real thing, but not on it. And so he managed to get the church, you know, to enter into a state of abundance which we had never seen before. Abundance which is being experienced in the church up till today. And the church became very, very prosperous. A few things I just want to read from this book by Rick Joyner, from the book Shadows of Things to Come. It says that the things that came into the church, a multitude of unconverted men and women poured into the church. Now the church was full of unconverted people. This was fueled by the prospect of imperial favor. In other words, favor from the king. And worldly promotion. Eusebius, the church historian and a friend of Constantine, decried the scandalous hypocrisy of those who crept into the church and assumed the name and character of Christians. This almost immediately diluted the discipline in Christian morals and devotion to doctrinal truth, and even the concept of monotheistic faith, as many brought their former gods into the church. The attempt to Christianize these gods led to idolatrous veneration of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and of the saints. That's why today we have Saint Kizito, Saint this, Saint that, Saint all those who we try to idolatize turn into idols, the Christian things, and to Christianize the idols or idolatize the Christianity. For instance, Sunday, you know, was a day, they were trying to get a day, and so they chose the sacred day of the sun as the day for worship. So that became Sunday. Then, the lure of the temporal eroded the devotion to the eternal purposes of God. Bishops and other church officials suddenly found themselves being awarded great wealth, worldly honors, and power in exchange for their favors. Suddenly, bishops and pastors were prosperous people like we are today. Soon it was said that the feasts of the bishops surpassed that of kings. In a candid acknowledgement of this, Gregory Nazian stated in his farewell address to the council at Constantinople, he says, "The people seek now not priests, but rhetoricians, not pastors of souls, but managers of money. Not those who suffer with pure hearts, but powerful champions." Of course, the same could be said of our churches today. The leadership of the church ceased to be servants of their... I'm showing you the effect of abundance. Because God is going to give you a lot of abundance. And so watch. Because sometimes when Satan wants to destroy you, he just gives you the abundance. Or when the abundance comes, then he comes in to destroy your life. Watch carefully. Because this year, many of the things you've been praying for are going to happen in Jesus' name. When you lift your hand and you say amen, also pray for yourself. You understand what I'm saying? All right. And the leadership of the church ceased to be servants of their flocks and became their taskmasters. All right. In one generation, the general leadership of the church turned from the ways of Jesus to the ways of Rome. And a new hierarchy rose within the church that was built on pride. Religious freedom was abandoned. Increasingly severe penalties were levied on those who presumed to depart, even in minor ways, from the practices of the official church. And the church excommunicated and executed not less than 50 million people in that period. The church became a wilder monster, started more wars, killed more people than any group. In fact, the kind of tortures that were imagined and implemented by this church, you cannot imagine. That's a church. And this is the effect of abundance on a church which has suffered under abasement and persecution for so long. And that's why I'm preaching about abundance. Paul said, "I know how to abound." In answer, I know how to be a rich man and I know how to be a poor man. You see, the church must learn how to be rich and how to be poor. Because both of them exist in this life and in our world. Whether you believe in it or not, you know, there are always going to be poor people. I mean, no matter how you preach, no matter what we do, no matter which government comes and which government goes, there will always be poor people. There are poor people in America. There are poor people in Switzerland.
Yeah.
You'll be surprised to find. I remember one time a beggar came to me in London, begging for a pound. There are many homeless people all over the world. No matter what you do and say, there will always be poor people. And even within your life, there will always be times of abasement and times of abundance.
Preach.
Yeah.
Preach.
Yeah.
So both in your personal life, you will have these seasons. How many have seen times of being down, and how many have seen times of being up? More times of being down, is that not so?
Mercy.
But ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to be able to say like Paul, I know how to abound. He said, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. I know how to be full. I know how to be hungry. I know what it's like to be a Christian when you are hungry. And I also know how to be a Christian when you are rich, when you are full, and when you are blessed. And you see, we fail, the church as a whole, failed the test of abundance. When God gave us the abundance, we failed. And many of us are still failing. We are failing that test. When God gives us abundance, we fail. We fail to do the right thing when God gives us all that we've ever prayed for. How many people prayed for husbands and God gave the husband? You should have seen them before when they were not married. How they will come to church and how they will be in the choir. Singing. Look at all of these unmarried girls in the choir. Let's see what they do when they are married.
Mercy.
You should see them before they have children or before they become pregnant. Very active for the Lord, very zealous. And when they have children or they are pregnant, they say, hey, Pastor, you see, when my hair is paining me. This place is paining me. When I smell certain perfume in the chair, then I feel busy. So I can't come there. So I will come after the pregnancy.
Mercy.
I remember one lady who promised to come after her pregnancy was over. Up till today, I have not yet seen her.
Mercy.
May you never fail the test of abundance. I say, may you not fail the test of abundance. So what do you do when God blesses you and God gives you abundance? How do you live in abundance? Do you know how to pray when you are sleeping in one room with four people, one room with five people, that there's no space? How to be a Christian when there's no toilet in your house and you have to queue at the public toilet or to go to the seaside and come every morning? When you have seven toilets in your house and you can choose, I want to go up or I want to go down. How to be a Christian when there's no television in your house and you have to stand by the roadside at the television repairer's shop and watch the television from there? And how to be a Christian when there's a television right in your room and you can watch it 24 hours a day? DVD, video, whatever. Satellites. How to be a Christian when you can watch television all the time? You see, people don't understand why God put the Adam and Eve in the garden with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. People don't understand why. It was not to make them fall. No. I never understood this till I became an employer and I started to employ people. When I started employing people, one of the things I learned is that it's better to have people who want to be with you rather than people who are being forced to be with you and around you by circumstances. You know, the way it is, it's like we can't leave. There are many people who smile to their bosses and they are there because they have to be there. There are many people who suck up to all these political parties because of the kickbacks and the contracts and so on they are getting. I knew a whole lot of NDC people who have changed colors like a chameleon and they are now totally NPP. I personally know that. And they will change again when the things change. So they are mercy. They are not there because they really want to be there. They are there because of something that is forcing them to be there. They don't really believe in all these things. They don't even know what the party stands for. So I learned, you know, when I'm employing people, I don't want to have people who, you know, it's like, I don't have a choice. But I'm here because I want to be here. I've chosen to be here. I'm not here because of money. A good relationship is not a relationship based on money. People don't know that.
Yeah.
Money has wings. It tends to fly. So God doesn't want to have people in heaven with him who just want to be there, you know, because they don't have a choice. So he wanted people to have a choice. So he put the tree there and said, don't touch this tree. So that man had a choice. He chose. And the devil told him, he said, choose good and evil or choose God. Choose the principles of good and evil or choose to have God. There are many people, the whole world has gone after good and evil. If you look, and good and evil can, you see, the good part of the tree is as bad as the evil part.
Yeah.
That is why when people seem to be doing good, they are also doing evil. The good and the evil part of the tree are both bad. God is different from a principle. You see, and Adam and Eve chose, let me go for good principles. You know, I'm a good person. I do this. I support this school. I do this. I do that. Good. You know, I'm good. But I don't have God.
Wow.
And the devil said, you can be like a God. You yourself will know what is right and wrong. And look at the course of this human race. As we have gone looking for what is right and wrong, where has it ended us? We are getting more and more to the brink of disaster. So ladies and gentlemen, God put the tree there and said, choose whether you want me or not. And that's why many things come your way. So you can actually choose. So that you don't have to be there by force. You are there because you chose to be there. The people who are going to go to heaven are going to go there because they chose God.
Yeah.
It's not that they were forced to be there. You can't choose. And all through this life, you never avoid the place where you have to choose. I chose God. I've chosen and I'm still choosing him. And so God gives us things and puts them before us and says, now, what do you want? Choose.
Wow.
And so God is going to put abundance in your life. And he's going to put it there and he's going to say, now, here's the abundance. You can now go your way or you can go my way still. Will you go your way or will you go my way now that you have everything? Paul said, I know how to abound. I know how to be a Christian when I have money and when I am blessed and when I'm rich and when I'm prosperous. Does the church know how? Will you know how? When God gives you the visa you've been praying for, you've been bounced 5 times, you've changed your passport 3 times, and now you are going, and you are going to get the visa. When you get the visa finally, with a new name, you've changed your name, changed your passport, to apply different places, now you've got it. You've changed your hairstyle even. Mercy! Now you've got the visa. One day I met a brother in America. Oh, this brother used to sing in the choir. He used to preach. He used to lead worship. And I saw him. I waited for him at his home as he came back from the nightclub. I sat with his crying wife. As she cried about the state of his life. And when the brother came and we would talk with him, I said, brother, your whole life is nightclubs and doing all kinds of strange things, which you would never have done in Ghana. At that point, I said to him, my brother, perhaps it would have been better that you didn't come to America. And you know what he said? He said, Pastor, it's true. It would have been better that I never came here. Maybe it would have been better that God never gave you the abundance. Because after giving you the abundance, many of you have turned away from him. Now God is saying, come, let's know how to be Christians and to have a lot of money. Let's know how to be Christians and how to have a lot of everything. Let's know how to be Christians when we are not poor. Let's know how to be believers. Watch and see when people are blessed. Do they come for prayer meetings? I can't escape going to that scripture. Let's go to Luke. I feel compelled. I'm preaching it. I'm preaching it. Chapter 16. The one who says soul. Soul. I will go Luke 12. 12. Verse 16, sorry. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. Abundance came. And then he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? What shall I do? You see, this is the question. What shall I do when I have the abundance that I've been praying for? And he said, because I have no more room to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns, in verse 18 of Luke chapter 12, and I will build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 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 thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. When God blesses you, what do you say? So, let's establish ourselves. But he should have said, so, let's go to church. How many people who are blessed will still come for prayer meetings?
Oh, Jesus.
When we start our airstrikes, our prayer meetings, you will see many of the abundantly rich people don't show up. Mercy. Mercy. Many of those who are rich don't come. Many who are rich don't pay tithes. It's the poor people in the church who pay tithes. The rich people feel they have too much to pay tithes. One time I was standing with some millionaires in Korea. And I was talking with them and they were saying, you know, we want to help your church, we want to do this, we want to do that. I said, oh, that's nice. Dollar millionaires. You know, afterwards I spoke to the pastor, their pastor, and I told their pastor, this man who, you know, came around, this, I asked, are they millionaires? Oh, they are millionaires from Seattle. I said, no, these are millionaires. I said, is it right for millionaires in a church, you know, to be going around and see, we want to help this and we want to help that. So I asked the pastor, do they pay tithes? He said, oh, they don't pay tithes. Because you see, as you grow and you become prosperous, I don't pay tithes. Why should I pay tithes? They rather go around and say, let me pay somebody's school fees here. Oh, can I help? I hear you have some orphanage project here. Let me help an old boys association. Let me help this. The church, or when the pastor comes to beg, so let me give you some money, or let me help a little here and there. But they don't want to pay tithes. It's the common humble people in the church who pay tithes.
That's right.
May you be a trillionaire and still pay your tithes. Abound so that when you are bound, you will do the things that you used to do when you were nobody. How? That's why when David became so blessed and he became the king, he still danced before the Lord. He danced until his clothes came off and his wife lifted up her nose and said, what is this? You've gone to lower yourself to dance with those funny girls in the church. When God blesses us and we become big, we can't dance anymore.
Mercy.
Mercy. I said mercy. We can't dance in the church. How many big people do you see dancing in the church? No, I mean, let me ask a question. How many big people do you see dancing in the church? Dancing, playing before the Lord. How many rich people who used to preach at dumb broadcast? You know, when I was becoming a doctor, the Lord told me, when you become a doctor, don't stop all these things. Dumb broadcast and so on. So I remember recently I went to do dumb broadcast at the Kolebu Medical Students with my children. I took them and said, let's go preaching early in the morning. I took my guitar and I played. I'm a doctor, I'm a bishop, I'm whatever. I played. Greater love has no man than this love. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us all. Your boyfriend may love you, your girlfriend may love you, but none can die. You, the love of Jesus, the sweet love of Jesus, the love of Jesus surpasses all.
Wow.
and I preach. I'm a bishop. I have my house, my car, my this, my that. I go all over the world. I drive everywhere. I do anything I want to. I interact with presidents and so on. But I can preach on broadcast and in the morning and tell people you must be born again. And God is trying to show you what to do when you are bound. How to behave. That's what I'm talking about. I'm just introducing the subject here. Because I sense in my spirit that God is going to make a lot of you abound. I see abundance coming all over the place. Do you believe in such things? Do you want to be a millionaire? I remember one time Kwabena Adeokun said, you know, he said he was somewhere and he saw a trillionaire kneeling down and lifting up his hand in the church. A trillionaire, dollar trillionaire. And he thought to himself then, what about me? I must lie down and worship the Lord. Mercy. Some of us, small job that we've got. Hey, it's a marvelous thing. Small promotion. Even medical students. Some people just become medical students. You should see the high and low. They are not even doctors. And you should see how they lift up their nose and despise the church and despise the work of God. It's wonderful. One time I was looking, I was just marveling at the medical students and the comments. You see, it's pride that makes you criticize. When you criticize me, it's because you are proud. Because you analyze me and you know enough to comment about me. It's your pride. But when you were nobody and you're around, you just receive with open mouth and you receive with an open heart and say, wow, I'm blessed. Oh, wow, wonderful. But as you become big in your own mind and your own perception of yourself increases, then you begin to have the audacity to comment and to say, oh, I'll give him 40% for his preaching. Oh, I think he's this and that. Oh, this one is like this and this one is like that. It's out of your pride. You don't know how to abound. Learn to abound and still be a humble man. You know, the really rich people, you don't even know them. May you be able to survive. This man says, soul, let me relax. Instead of saying, soul, let's go to church.
All night.
Soul, let's go for all night. Soul, let's go and pray. Instead of saying, soul, let's honor the church from where we started. How many singers started in the church singing hymns, singing gospel songs? When they were blessed with abundance, where did they end up? What kind of things are they singing today? How to abound. When God blesses your album and your music becomes international and national and you start to make millions, what kind of singing and what kind of songs will you sing? Paul said, I know how to be rich. I know how to be full. I know what to do when I'm full. I know what to do when I'm poor. I know how to abound. May you pass your test of abundance. Receive abundance in the name of Jesus. Because I prophesy. Listen, we've been prophesying for some time and it's coming to pass. I feel it coming to pass. God's blessing is coming on your life. God's blessing is coming on your business. God's blessing is upon your hand. God will help you. God will lift you up. God will establish you. But when he does it, don't forget this verse. My Paul said, I know how. I know what to do. I know how to abound. I know how to survive. When I'm in abundance and when God is blessing me, I know what to do. I'm not going to lose it all and say one day that I wish I had never had anything in this world. No, that's why I like my old friends best. Oh, yes. My old friends are my best friends. Because they've been with me when we were nothing. Today, yes, we have one of the largest blessed churches in the world. We are operating in so many places. We look very prosperous. But I'm preaching because I know the kind of prosperity that is coming. You see, we are sending spiritual troops to many countries, doing many great things that we've never done before. God is going to give you a lot of abundance so that you can strengthen the hands of the workmen and the pastors. And that's why, you know, I want to still do the things we are doing. I don't want to change those things. Let me keep preaching. I'm not a motivator. I'm not a kind of motivational speaker or a social commentator or a leadership, whatever, or some kind of political. No, I'm a preacher. I'm a gospel preacher. I'm preaching the Bible. You must be born again. You must give your life to Jesus. I don't want to change that. When I have power, I mustn't change my message. Yeah. I mustn't stop preaching about this. I must still preach it. Yeah. Yeah. How to abound. May you have the wisdom to know what to do. And when God said, thou fool, could it be that when you are bound, God looks at you and says, you are a fool? Mercy. But may he say, you are a wise man. I see you being wise as you are bound. Our time is up, stand to your feet.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.